ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. And this is text number 32. And this is found in your persimmon-colored book. No, that one, yeah. And the page number is?
50.
Page 50. Tam Atmajair Drishtibir Antaratmana, tam atmaja drishtibhir antaratmana, duranta bhava parirebhire patim, duranta bhava parirebhire patim, Nirudham api asravad ambu netrayor, Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor, vilajatinam vilajatinam bhrigu varya Vaiklavat Vilajitinam Bhriguvarya Vaiklavat Vilajatinam Bhriguvarya Vaiklavat Tamatma Jair Drishtibir Antaratmana Duranta bhava parire bire patim, Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor, Vilajatinam bhriguvarya vaiklavat. Tamatma jaya drishtibir antaratmana Duranta bhava parire bire patim Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor Vilajatinam bhriguvarya vaiklavat Tam atma jaya drishtibir antaratmana
Duranta bhava parirebhir patim
Duranta bhava parirebhir patim
Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor
Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor Vilajatinam bhriguvarya vaiklavat. Want to try? Tamatma jaya drishtibir antaratmana. Duranta bhava parire bire patim. Nirudham apyasravad ambu netrayor. Vilajatinam bhriguvarya vaiklavat tam him, the Lord, atmajai, by the sons, drishtibhi, by the sight, antara atmana, by the innermost part of the heart, duranta bhava, insuperable ecstasy, parirebhire, embraced. Patim, husband, Nirudham, choked up, api, in spite of, ashravat, tears, ambu, like drops of water.
Netrayo,
from the eyes. Vilajatinam,
of those situated in shyness.
Bhriguvarya,
O chief of the Bhrigus.
Vaikulavat,
inadvertently.
Translation. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief amongst the Bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Altogether, the insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief of amongst the Bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Purport. Although due to feminine shyness, there were many hindrances to embracing the dear husband, Lord Sri Krishna, the queens performed that act by seeing him, by putting him in the cores of their hearts, and by sending their sons to embrace him. Still, the act remained unfinished, and tears rolled down their cheeks despite all endeavors to check them. One indirectly embraces the husband by sending the son to embrace him, because the son is developed as part of the mother's body. The embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of husband and wife from the sexual point of view, but the embrace is satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. The embrace of the eyes is more effective in the conjugal relation. And thus, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong in such an exchange of feeling between husband and wife. And now we'll recite the Mangalacharna, which you'll find in this blue book at the very... near the end or at the end? At the end. Nope. It's the second to the last yellow tab. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadah Mahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne Shri Shri Navadipa Para Pratipa Santipyamana Satato Bhuviya Chetastamohanti Hiyasya Yatnat Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vyasadya Kosham Kushalam Kripalu Sanlecha Vagdesha Chayeda Datyas Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarka Drishya Govinda Murtyu Jwala Bhaskarena Advaiti Kadyod Yata Kulam Chakyam. One more time. Advaiti kadyota kulam jagatyam tam kirtayama prabhupada devam yasyaiva yatnena purana raja gangamalam keshava kelihamsa sat stotra ratna vahati haloke tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padaravinde Sahasahritsu Shatamandireshu Aropayadyo Mandure Prativyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Kaushaladayar Yasya Sahasra Shastra Shastrati Varshai Pratiyant Tayatehi Chanda kalir moha chamur hatena tam kirtayama prabhupada devam nana lasad gora sudha prakasha pala shitao stapita eva yena krishnanu chinta jana sangha vrikshas tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Yo nitya da jivati daivikeshu nijasu shikshasu tu sangum gami kripam budhir nanda sutta shritatma tam kirtayama prabhupada devam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prashtaya bhutale srimate bhakti siddhanta saraswati tinamine Shri Barshaba Navidevi Dayataya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jwala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuda Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga virudhapa siddhanta dwanta harine namo gora kishoraya sakshad vairagya murtaye vipralambara sambote padambujayate namaha namo bhakti vinodaya sakchirananda namine gora shakti swarupaya rupanuga varayate gora virbhava bhomestvam Nirdesasya janapriyaha Vaishnava sarvabhoma shri Jagannathaya te namaha Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha Kripa sindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna chaitanya Namne Gora Twishe Namaha Pancha Tatvatmakam Krishnam Pakta Rupas Rupakam Bhaktavartaram Paktakyam Namami Pakti Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gupika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suratao Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarva Swapadambo Jau Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnakara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Preshtalibi Sevyamanao Smarami Srimad Rasa Rasarambhi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindyai Tulsidevyai Priyai Keshavasticha Vishnu Bhakti Pradidevi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam yata yuni, yunam cha yuvatau yata, mano piramate tadvam, mano me ramatam twayi, bhuma skalita padanam, bhumir eva valambanam, twayi jata paradhanam, twameva sharanam prabho, govinda balabe radhe, prate twamaham sada, Twadiyam iti janatu govindo mam twayasaha Radhe vrindavanadishe karunamrita vahani kripayam nijapadabja dasyam mayam radiyatam Vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhikshnashaha yasam hari kato gitam punati bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam manamapi shachiputram matra sarupam sirupam tasya gajam maruparim maturim goshtavatim radhakundam girivaramoho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi adadhanas tridam danter idam jache puna punaha shriman rupa padam bhoja Rajoham syam bhave bhave Hantaya madhura bala haridasya varyo Yadrama krishna charana sparasha pramoda Manam tanoti sahago ganayos tayoryat Paniya suyavasa kandana kanna mulai Jaya Sri krishna chaitanya Prabhu nityananda Sri advaita gadadhara Shivasari gaura bhakta brinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Tamatma Jadrishtibir Antaratma, Duranta Bhava, Parirebire Patim, Nirudhamap Yasravadambu Netrayor, Vilajam, Vilajatinam Bhriguvarya Vaiklavad. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief, amongst the Brigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Can we have the dictionary? I just want to hear the origin of the word insuperable. Yeah? Insuperable ecstasy. What verse are you talking about?
The one that you just read.
This morning's verse.
Okay.
Insuperable.
So, And also, may I please have a Bhagavad Gita? Thank you.
Insuperable, incapable of being overcome. Insurmountable, an insuperable barrier, insuperability, insuperableness, insuperably. It's an adjective. It does not have a etymology. The next one is unsupportable. Yeah, there's no etymology here in this dictionary for some reason. It's Latin. Super, means above. To overcome something, superable means to be able to overcome it, and insuperable means incapable of being overcome, insurmountable. Like an insuperable barrier. If there's a big wall, you can't climb over it. If you could climb over it, it would be superable. But if you can't climb over it, it's insuperable.
Okay. So we have the insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief amongst the Brigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. So, one thing about this verse that comes to my mind is the reference that Prabhupada makes in a purport, the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the 26th verse. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. The translation is, those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport. He says, owing to his complete knowledge in self-realization, he, meaning the devotee, always remains in trance. To cite an analogous example of this, darshana dhyana samsparshar matsya kurma vihangama swanyap pat yani pushnanti tataham api padmaja. By vision, by meditation, and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise, and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly do I also, O Padmaja. The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of the tortoise are laid on the land, and the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. It lays on the beach and then goes off into the water, and it's in the big ocean thinking about those eggs. And by that power of meditation, the eggs hatch, and then the little ones have to make their way into the ocean after that. And then the fish, of course, they don't have any hands. They lay their eggs and the other fish are hatched. And by their vision, just by watching their offspring. And then, of course, it's mentioned how the birds, which Prabhupada doesn't mention that in the in his comments on this verse, but it's said by touch also. So the birds, they sit on their eggs and keep them warm so they can incubate, and then the birds are born. So this idea of proximity to the Lord is mentioned in the Sri Upanishad. Tadejati tannaijati taddure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasisipayataha. The Lord is far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he is outside of everyone, everything. And for the devotee always feels close to the Lord because of his devotional service. And even though Krishna is in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan, because the devotee has the emotion of for serving him without any kind of motivation, then by meditating on him, by thinking of him, even from apparently far away, the Lord is very near. He is far away, but he's very near as well. He is very near to the devotee who fixes his mind on him. And also, the devotees who come to see the Lord and just gaze on his form, the Lord appears as the Archavigraha. Any place you go in India, practically, you'll find some kind of a temple. You can travel to all the tirthas and never come to the end of them if you go up and down India and travel all over. And in each place, you can go in and simply sit before the deity and gaze on the beautiful form of the deity and see the smiling face of the Lord. And the Lord is present there to accept the service of the devotee, who can bring some offering, who can sing some prayers, and in that way be connected to Krishna. So yoga means huge. It means to be connected to the Lord. So how is it that we connect? How do we stay connected to Krishna? So by vision, we can see the Lord. By meditation, when we meditate on the sound of the Maha Mantra, and also by hearing the sound of the Shastra, like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, by that, we become close to the Lord. What does it mean to be close, actually? Tadejati tanayjati. How is the Lord far away and how is he close? Shureshvara Prabhu, God brother, spoke about being on a morning walk with Prabhupada once and thinking that one way or another I'm going to get close. And in these morning walks, often the devotees would jockey for position to try to get closer and closer. Of course, there were those who had already a position, like if they were sannyasi or GBC, they could stand next to Prabhupada, or if they were servant and they were carrying the tape recorder, they were automatically close. But others who would get invited to the walk, they could fend for themselves to try to get as close as possible. I remember in 1976 in Washington, D.C., when we went with Prabhupada to see the memorials downtown Washington, D.C. He wanted to see where the Congress met and where all the memorials to the previous presidents were, like the Lincoln Memorial. And also, it was a big celebration because it was a bicentennial. So Prabhupada was driving in it, in an SUV along with Pushta Krishna Maharaj at that time and Hari Sari and a few other devotees. I forget who was there exactly. Maybe Rupanuga. And all the other devotees were following behind him in cars and were trying to get as close to Prabhupada's car as possible by hook or by crook, by, you know, driving a little faster, slower than cutting in, and, you know, they would get closer. Probably dangerous, actually. And Sureshvara talks about being on this morning walk and trying to get closer to Prabhupada. So he kept inching his way up person by person. He would get closer, closer, closer in the pack of devotees that were following Prabhupada. And then he got right behind him, and Prabhupada was walking swiftly. This is in Hawaii. And then Prabhupada, as he often did on morning walks, when he would make a point, he would stop short, just stop suddenly, and then he would turn around to all the devotees and make a point. So Prabhupada was walking, and Sureshvara was mostly concentrating on how I'm going to get close to Prabhupada. And just then, Prabhupada stopped, and Sureshvara caught himself just in time. You know, like we were on the freeway and it's stop and go traffic, and all of a sudden, you know, you're slam on your brakes and there's a screech and you're this far away from, you know, missing the evening program and having to get out your insurance card and everything like that. So that was Sureshvara. He slammed on his brakes just before he would actually bump into Prabhupada and jostle him. And he ended up, he said, about this far, his nose, Sureshvara's nose, from the back of Prabhupada's head. As Prabhupada stopped short and he stopped like that, and then there was Sureshvara about an inch from Prabhupada's back of his head. And in that instant, he realized that this is not closeness. This kind of positioning to get in close, you know, to just be there by pushing his way in was not actually closeness. He felt that now I'm one inch away. But in his heart, and in his feeling was, but I'm millions of miles away from being close, actually. Not by that. Hare Krishna. Not by this process, you know, physically. So the idea of closeness to Krishna is not in the ordinary mundane sense of how we become close, but because Krishna's there within the heart and he recognizes the sincerity of the devotee, he realizes that he knows the intention of the devotee. In fact, that's a kind of it's a kind of flavor that he's waiting for. That scent of surrender, of sincerity, is what actually attracts Krishna. That's what attracts his attention, because he's called Bhava Grahi Janardana. That's Krishna's name. So Krishna's very much aware of the bhava, or the feeling of the devotee, and how he or she is offering the service, and for what reason. And that is what makes the closeness. So those who experience this kind of closeness because of good fortune, developing a sincerity within the heart, this is true good fortune. To be able to fall to one's knees before the picture of the spiritual master, or before the deities, and wholeheartedly pray for complete sincerity and complete surrender, that's a sign of fortune. That's real fortune. When one has the wherewithal and the impetus to ask Krishna to please remove any obstacles in my path to pure devotional service, unmotivated, uninterrupted service. I don't want anything to block my progress, and I'm asking you, please help. Agne naya supataraya asman vishvani deva vayunani vidvan yuyodyasmash juharanameno puyishtam te nama uktim videma. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, omnipotent one, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all I've done in the past, please remove all the obstacles to my progress so there'll be no hindrance and I can approach you. So even in that prayer, one gains closeness to the Lord. If one is sincerely asking for this, one may be, for instance, in jail. May not be in a temple. Someone might be in jail. When Thakur Haridas was put into the jail by the Muslims, he was greeted by all the residents of the jail. They were very happy that there was a sadhu coming into the jail to be with him. Funny, because they were probably like very pious people too. When a friend of mine got thrown in jail in Jagannath Puri, he was telling me that in the Jagannath Puri jail, it's mandatory that you do bhajans 3 hours a day. They come in and say, okay, bhajan time, chant. It's your punishment. Chant the Lord Jagannath. So they were, when Thakur Haridas came into the jail, all the prisoners came to him and offered obeisances. And Thakur Haridas saw them and said, he gave his benediction. He said, stay as you are. And they became morose, and they said, stay as we are, we're in jail. And he began explaining that everyone's in jail, actually. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karma ni sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartanam iti manyate. It's a fool who thinks that he's not in jail. It's just a bewilderment by the spell of material nature that I'm in control and that I'm free. Actually, I noticed this. I go for a walk early in the morning at the park in Burlingame called Washington Park. It's a universe unto itself, that little park. And I notice the patterns, how people are working and not working. Over the long weekend, I could feel it. There's a subtle energy in the air. It's building up to this feeling that we have 3 days off. 3 days off. There's the mantra going in the air. You can feel it. 3 days off. 3 days off. And there's a kind of a whimsical joyfulness in the air that everyone's feeling. You know, we have 3 days off. And that builds and builds. And I can feel it in the people who come to the park regularly. They're getting ready for those 3 days. And then they come, and those 3 days. And people do take some time off. Actually, even in the attempt for enjoyment, there's a hard struggle. Because I noticed that on the 4th of July, which was a Sunday, some people had come. I was there at least by, you know, 5 a.m. or something like that. And I noticed there were already people who had come out earlier than that to stake their claim on the picnic tables. They already put a thermos on there or something like that, and they'd probably stayed up all night, done some austerity. You know, it's like, okay, Jimmy, you got to get down there and get the spot. Otherwise, we're not going to enjoy ourselves unless we get that table. And so they had to work very hard just for the happiness of that day off that they had. And then it came, and they came into the park. I didn't see it all, but I know what happens. They came, and they all sat together, and it was a hard labor to bring the food and everything. And then in a few minutes, it was consumed. They played with the dogs. The kids ran wild for a little while. They packed it up and went home. And the next day was their day off. And it was quiet on Monday. But come Tuesday, the train whistles were blowing, the cars were going, and everyone was forced to go back to work. Just like during 9/11, I lived near the airport, and I remember this feeling that how everything had come to a halt for 2 days. No airplanes flying, which is really unusual. It means the wheels of progress have stopped. And I remember being in my backyard and thinking, this is weird. There's no air travel. Everything's come to a stop. And then I immediately thought, it's got to go again. It doesn't matter if the whole world's under threat of being blown up, they got to go. Because you can't stop. It can't be stopped. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Maya jaksena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hetunani nakonteya jagadvi parivartate. This material nature, it's going on and on. It's forcing us to work. We have to go on. We have to work. And you can't stop. You can't take a day off. Kama dinam katina katita palita dur nideshas tesham jata maina karuna natrapuno pushanti. Utsri daitanata yadupate samprata labdhaburis tamayata sharanam abhayam mam nyukshat madasye. But the devotee gets mercy. Through the mercy of a pure devotee, one gets this feeling in one's heart that I've served this machine and these bad masters for so long. And now I feel relief because my intelligence has awakened. Labdha buddhi, I've gained my intelligence and I no longer want to serve these bad masters. Even though I may still be doing it, in my heart there's a seed that's growing and it's sprouted. And it's that intelligence that I'm going to serve Krishna. This is my goal in life, to serve Krishna and get some personal service to Krishna. And that awakening, that feeling within one's heart that I must have this service. This is called Ashabandha. In the Nectar Devotion, this is Rupa Goswami mentions this kind of feeling. This is very important for advancing in devotional service. This is a kind of hope, this hopefulness and this prayer, asking Krishna for some personal service and hoping that Krishna will give his special mercy. Tatenu kampam susamikshamanu. Anukampam, Krishna gives, he's the most merciful, and he's Yogeshvara, Yogeshvara, Yogeshvara. He's the supreme mystic of all supreme mystics. He can bestow anything. He can do anything. Look at Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted something impossible, and Krishna arranged for it. Gave him the Dhruva Loka planet, on which, from which, around which, all other planets rotate and are dependent. And that's what he wanted. The Lord arranged that. Of course, he wanted pure devotional service after he met the Lord. And those who have that feeling, that's closeness and proximity. And then another thing that's mentioned here is this insuperable ecstasy. Insuperable means it can't be contained. Because superable means it's above, to go over. But insuperable, so superable means something above. And insuperable means you can't get above it. You can't surmount it. So there's insuperable ecstasy. And Krishna bolbe jabe pulakhabe jorbe anki bolitai. When one chants Hare Krishna with the intention of attaining pure devotional service, that is unmotivated, uninterrupted service, one is chanting Hare Krishna and praying that, Krishna, please, I want to be your servant. This is the prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everything's in that prayer. Nam Nam Ukari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shakti. All of Krishna's power. He's personally present in the prayer. We saw it last night at the Harinam Sankirtan. What a festival. people came by, and all the reactions to the people. We had maybe 100 devotees out on Sankirtan last night, chanting, dancing, distributing prasadam, talking. It was a Kumbh Mela. And I saw along the street, when the Harinam party came by, I watched what people's reaction is to this Harinam Sankirtan, to the Maha Mantra. I saw one, a group of young people. Generally, they're already intoxicated with themselves because their hormones are racing, and they're thinking, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the enjoyer. I can actually enjoy, I can do this. And they're not thinking about death. There's no conception. They just want to enjoy. And so they're there associating, having fun on the street corner. And then when the Maha Mantra comes by and they hear it, I saw one boy, he was going like this. Like worshiping the mantra, almost whimsically, but I was looking at him, and I thought, how does he know to do this? You know, to make his hands like this, and then he's dancing, like sort of, you know, in a mock way, thinking like, what would a divine dance be like? You know, and he was going like this, and I thought, you saw that same guy? He's like, and I thought, yes, this is what everyone does. You know, it's a divine dance. They hear the name, and they go, that's divine, and it tickles something deep within them. Yadabhaso pyudyan kavalita bhava dhanta vibhavo drisham tat vandanam api didishti bhakti pranayanam. That bhakti that's natural, that's there within the soul, it becomes awakened by the faint glow of the holy name that comes from it, and it awakens even someone who's steeped in ignorance. It awakens it. It's so powerful, that Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And what to speak of someone who takes it directly? Yanamadeha Shravanadu Kirtanad Yat Pravanad Yat Smaranad Api Kuchit. This is mentioned by Devahuti. Yes. Devahuti says that if this process is so powerful that anyone who chants it, even if they're a dog eater, they can come to the highest position. So if people hear it even incidentally, we read that earlier in Rupa Goswami's prayers, Jayanama Deha Muni Vrindagehe Janaranjanaya Paramaksharakrite. First he says, it's created this combination of syllables, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has created a festival. So there's a festival going on. Wherever that name is chanting, an immediate festival. Everyone becomes happy. And you know, the festival, it comes out of one's heart, you know. And then said, Twamanadarada pi managudiritam niki logratapa patalimbalumpasi. That even if someone chants it disrespectfully or out of humor, disregard, any of those things, then ugratapa, that ugra, that the horrible austerities of the material world, the weight of all the sins that is keeping us bound and working hard in horrible situations of life against the actual interest of the soul, that becomes lifted just by the power of the holy name. Tumara. Even one time someone chants Hare Krishna. Nikilogra. Nikila means all of them. Nikilogra tapa. All this austerity that's caused by having to work hard. Ugra tapa. Nikilogra tapa. That becomes wiped out by the power of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So Devahuti said, so if that happens incidentally to someone who says the holy name, what to speak of someone who chants with what we call, what Thakur Haridas calls Shraddha Namabhas. It means they align themselves with the holy name as their only shelter. And Krishna is our only shelter. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagdatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantimrichiti. This verse is so often quoted, isn't it? And it's mentioned as the peace formula, that we can miss it. Sometimes these verses that are so often quoted, like, Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mamikam, just surrender to... I could say it so many times that I forget what it means. But revisit it. Go deeply within the verse, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. And it solves all problems. That's what Krishna is saying in the verse. He himself is saying it. Gyatva mam shantam richati. Gyatva means to know something, to have it in your consciousness, right? The word know comes from gyan, from gyan, know, gyan, to be cognizant of something. You buying that?
Yeah, in Greek there's the word gnosis.
Gnosis.
And it's also like gnosis, right?
Maybe use the microphone. Can you repeat that?
Gnosis with the G. I'm not speaking as a historical linguist or anything. I'm not sure what they say.
I heard.
But there is a word in Greek that gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, is the way we spell it in English or with our Roman letters. But it's a special kind of knowing, like a real deep knowing.
And it derives from this word gyan,
gyan
which, and gyatva, which is the same root, which means to be cognizant of something. So what to be cognizant of? Gyatva mam. Krishna says mam. And when we develop a relationship with the Bhagavad Gita and we hear this word mam, we actually feel Krishna's present. Talk about proximity. It's not that Krishna's far away. He's very near as well. Tadejati tanaijati. He's very near. And how is he near? When we read Bhagavad Gita, he has actually come to us. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he quoted a verse saying that just by aiming the arrow of the Bhagavad Gita at Arjuna, Krishna has protected the whole world. And so Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is actually personally present. You can't get any closer. Proximity-wise, you can't get any closer. Gyatva mam, that word mam, that means Krishna. He's actually there in the word. He's sitting there in the word with his full potency in the word because he said it. It emanated from his mouth. Gyatva mam, shantim richati. He says, all your problems, all your miseries are finished if you remember three things. Be cognizant of me as the source of these three things. One is that he's the enjoyer. And that means that all my duty is in life is to give enjoyment to Krishna. And the more I do that, the more I thrive. This is the secret to life. And it's told by Prahlad Maharaj that just as when you decorate your face and you look in the mirror, you see that the reflection in the mirror is also decorated. So when you decorate Krishna, when you give to Krishna, you think of how Krishna can enjoy, then you actually enjoy. Our god sister, who passed away recently, with the blonde hair, the actress.
Oh, Rasagya.
Rasagya, great devotee, wonderful devotee, just died of cancer last year. And one devotee was writing a memorial to her, and remembered how when she was in New York serving Radha Govinda, Rasagya, when she was doing her Prajari service, New York gets freezing cold. It's so cold there. And we used to be on 340 West 55th, that building, gigantic building, and it took so much to heat the place. And sometimes it was cold in the morning, coming into the Prajari room, and it was cold, 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 cold. So she would, before she dressed the small deities, which was one of her services, she would take the outfits and then she would either use a hairdryer or an iron or something like that, and she would warm them up before she'd put them on the deities. And this devotee was remembering how personal she was, how she was giving this kind of very personal service to Krishna. And just see, somebody saw that, and just by seeing it, just by seeing the very personal service that someone else was doing for Krishna, they were relishing something, and they were feeling closer to Krishna through this devotee. What to speak of the devotee who was actually doing the service, Rasagya, thinking in that way. And that kind of service, that kind of thoughtfulness, offering Krishna service, and that actually satisfies our soul. We become happy. Yes.
Actually, the story was that one devotee actually had a dream, and Srila Prabhupada told that devotee, please thank Rasagya for warming the clothes. And the devotee did not know what it meant, but told it to Rasagya. And then Rasagya explained that I used to warm the clothes. There was no way and this was after Srila Prabhupada had passed away. And Prabhupada, just speaking of closeness, you know, that Prabhupada understood what she was doing and thanked her for it through another devotee. So it demonstrated that, you know, there didn't have to be any, like, eyewitnesses through the usual senses or anything like that. But that
wow. Amazing. So Bhoktaram, if we concentrate our attention on giving pleasure to Krishna, then we become nourished, we become satisfied, we become happy. Yajna tapasam. Sarva loka maheshvaram, this also solves all problems, because Krishna says, everything belongs to me. That's a relief, actually, because owning something is infinitely troublesome. You have to have property rights, and you can be sued, and you have to have insurance, and then you have to, you know, just when somebody passes away, when sons and daughters are there and they think, you know, well, maybe I'll inherit something, it's very troublesome, actually, because there's all this paperwork, and sometimes people contest even after it's done. They contest the will, and, they say, oh, that couldn't be, so they have to go to court, they have to fight over it. I think even this is going on, I just heard dribs and drabs, but Michael Jackson's estate's probably a mess, right? Anyway, any time there's possession, there's always trouble. And so, look it, Krishna just solved your problem. You want peace? Listen to this. Sarva loka maheshram. I own everything. It doesn't belong to anybody except for me. Just take that and all your problems really are solved, because everything you look at, you'll think like, that's not mine. It's not mine. It's Krishna's. It just solves the problem. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Yes.
Haribol, it's funny you should say that, because I just left from Hawaii in January, and I have an old, a former girlfriend there that inherited. In fact, her parents wrote the will on the day before 9/11, but so they passed away, and she said, "Oh no, I can't inherit this much money. You know, it's got to be more." So she spent all her inheritance to fight to get more. And all that hundreds of thousands of dollars is down the drain, and I don't think she'll get anything more. So she just spent her inheritance to try to get more, and it's not working.
Nice case in point. Prabhupada gives a story of a dog who has a piece of meat in his mouth, and he gets on a boat that's going across the river. He just jumps on as a free passenger. And he's thinking, oh, I'm so lucky, I got this meat, and I'm getting away from all the other dogs who are fighting for it. And he's on the boat going across. And he's looking down into the water as the boat is plying across, and he sees another dog down there holding the same piece of meat. Looks like the same kind of meat. And he thinks, well, I'll take that one too. So he snaps at the dog, and then it was his reflection, and it goes off. He loses the piece that he has. It goes into the water. And this idea of possession is very troublesome. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Avadhuta Brahman was wandering in the wilderness, and Maharaj Yadu had come across this saintly person and asked him how he had become enlightened, and he told him about his 24 gurus. And the gurus were the water and the sky and the mountain and the tree and the prostitute and the arrow maker. Each one has a story to tell. But one of them, relevant to this particular point, is that he told about the karari hawk. And the karari hawk had grabbed onto some piece of meat. He's a predator bird, and he was about to eat, and he was very hungry. And then two larger hawks came, and grabbed on, and they wanted it. And they were overpowering him, the smaller bird. And they said, give it up or die. And so the karari hawk, in an instant, just said, okay, I release it, I give it back. You can take it. And they flew off, and the karari hawk was saved. So this avaduta had observed this, and through his intelligence, he had realized that the power of letting go. Just letting go. Once you let go, then there's no more problem. So Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna gives us full intelligence and information and permission to let go of all the fruits of our activity. Gaya sanitya sanyasi yo na dveshi na kankshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukham bhanda pramuchite. Someone who is gaya sanitya sanyasi, he's not attached to the fruits of his activity. He's ever liberated. He may move in this world, but he doesn't become entangled.
Still, we see in society people are very fascinated by possession. For them, big is beautiful. I was recently reminded about a poster.
10th canto, 14th chapter, please.
A poster that a parent had put up in the garage, which showed five beautiful sports cars beneath. And above that was written, all this is possible with higher education. So the message, apparently, to the children was that if you study very hard and all that, and do very well, then you would be able to have
14th chapter.
All these possessions. And of course, the possessions are just sports car, which is a materialistic thing. So there is still this thing, the concept among people, that the criteria for success or the yardstick for success, whatever, however you put it, is this ability to be able to personally own so much and to have it and to show it.
Well, that's called weakness of heart. Prabhupada defines weakness of heart in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the last verse, which is number 20, that this attraction to matter and giving up the Lord's service on account of that, and then becoming more and more attached to owning and possessing matter, this is caused by weakness of heart. So that weakness of heart must be overcome. And in the beginning of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the first five verses explain how to become free from the weakness of heart. First is through knowledge. And Krishna explains that this situation that we're born into is like a huge banyan tree, of which we don't know what is the beginning and we don't know what is the end. And then he describes that we're lost in this banyan tree and we must cut it down. The means to cut it down, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. He said, cut down this deeply rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Asanga, asanga shastrena dridhena. And then he says, after that, one must search out that supreme person from which everything is emanated, who's the origin of everything else. And nirmana moha jita sanga dosha dhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. He said, these are the qualities one must have to search for the Supreme Lord. This is the nirmana. Nirmana means without any kind of false prestige. Moha, one must be free from illusion. Nirmana, moha, jitta, sangha, dosha, and one must conquer the fault of bad association. Nirmana, moha, jitta, sangha, dosha, dhyatma, nitya, vrindavritta, kama, and one must be constantly in tune, hearing over and over again. Like Gopal Krishnamurti said the other night in his class, that we have to hear constantly, regularly, repeatedly about the science of the Absolute Truth, lest we forget it. Because the power of Maya is so strong. If we don't hear every day repeatedly, then you know, you say, oh, I'll take a few days off, and then after a few days, you say, what was wrong with Maya anyway? You know, it's like, what was so wrong with that? sports car, you know, what's wrong with having a sports car? Of course, the verse I wanted to bring into evidence about sports cars or anything else, it's not that inherently these things are bad, but in the prayers that Lord Brahma offered in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, very important verse that mentions the residents of Vrindavan. If you read about the residents of Gokula during Krishna's pastimes, you'll find that they're very attached to their things. they're householders. They have all kinds of things. And even when they went to Kurukshetra and visited Krishna there, they said, you know, fine and you know, we're glad to see you, but come back to Vrindavan. That's our home. That's where we want to see you, not here, not in this fancy place. We want you in the forest where all the cows are and our houses and all these things. That's our place, right? So in the course of describing these great souls, this verse comes in the 14th chapter. Tavad ragadayastenas. Tavad ragadayastenas. Tavad kara graham graham tavan moho ring gri nigado yavat krishna natejanaha tavat ragadayas tenas tavat kara graham graham tavan mohan gri nigado yavat krishna natejanaha. For those of you keeping score, that's 10:14:36. You might want to examine this verse later. And the verse is translated, "My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles." Purport. Apparently, the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage in the material world. Thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential qualities of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. Such loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. So Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that he's the friend of all living entities. This verse is a relief. When we tell people, when we hand over Bhagavad Gita and we say, this book shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress, right? And they go, yeah. And they say, okay, this is it. Here's the verse. Listen, you don't own anything. None of this is yours. Doesn't that make you feel better? It should. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And then one time, there was a famous actor named Sean Penn. He's still alive, actually, Sean Penn. I think he won an Academy Award for something. Even, or almost.
Yeah, no, he won for Mystic River.
Okay. He's an accomplished actor. Actually, I met him once because Nirkula used to do catering in Los Angeles, and Madonna's a vegetarian, so Nirkula and Badri used to cook for her engagements down there, and that's when she was married to him. And anyway, he was on an interview about 20 years ago, I heard on public radio, and there was a fire in Malibu where his house was. It's a very fancy part of Los Angeles. It's a canyon. And only trouble is every once in a while it catches on fire and the fire just rages up the canyon and it burns all the houses down. So he had a beautiful house up there and it was burned down in the fire. So the interviewer, Terry Gross, was asking him about you know, how it felt to have his house burned down and lost everything. He said, well, you know how regular daily life is, how you have bills to pay and you have all those, you know, letters that, you know, you had in your drawer that you meant to return those, you know, and it was pressing on you and all these things. And there were projects around the house that you had to fix this and fix that. And she goes, yeah, you know all about that. She goes, I don't have that anymore. Of course, it'll come back because it's a product of consciousness. But but this idea, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, you know, just there's no stress in that. That Krishna owns everything. That's his. It's his thing too. Even our duties in Krishna consciousness, we have to remember how we're instruments. You know, sometimes there can be a lot of pressure if we actually take Krishna consciousness seriously. That I must serve my spiritual master correctly. And it, for us, it becomes life and death. This is a good disciple is thinking, I have to please my spiritual master. I have to do it correctly. I have to get his approving and affectionate glance. This is what the devotee wants. And to such a person, you know, if the spiritual master gives an order and I have to fulfill it, that's a lot of pressure, actually. It's not that the devotee's life is just, oh, shanti, shanti, I don't care about anything. No, the devotee actually cares more than anybody else because they realize that this is a high-stakes thing. I have to do my duty properly. And if one is in that situation, puts it upon oneself, this is mature, advanced devotional service, that I must do this. And so devotees will do what it takes to get their service done. They'll stay up all night. They'll, you know, they'll go to great lengths to make sure, and there's pressure there. So, but within that, there's this connection to Krishna. Within that, there's no dislocation from the association of the spiritual master and with Krishna. To someone who's taken devotional service that seriously, there's no more disconnect from Krishna. Constantly is always with. If you watch the life of a pure devotee, look at Srila Prabhupada, he never stopped in his connection to his spiritual master through his service, constantly, always serving. So this verse was about the wives of Krishna and how they were embracing him in a non-physical way. But they'd send their sons, and they also within their hearts they were embracing, and that in the spiritual platform that these things are the same as embracing Krishna. And for the serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness, this is altogether possible. And just even by chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said that Prahlad Maharaj was benedicted by Nrisingadev. Nrisingadev came and he placed his lotus palm upon the head of Prahlad Maharaj out of affection. This is a very unusual thing. You know, out of affection, and he puts it on his head. He loved Prahlad so much. And Prabhupada said that for us, actually chanting Hare Krishna, we're, by proximity, we're in the same situation. Krishna is actually touching us. He's embracing us. That's how merciful the holy name is, that the holy name has come for us, you know, out of affection, out of kindness. Even if one's the greatest offender, even if it's the lowest of the low, especially the name that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda have distributed, even the people who are most unqualified, Krishna comes and embraces those people. And the touch is the same as what Prahlad Maharaj had on his head from Lord Nrisingadev. Our chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram. No difference, actually. It's only a matter of realization. Embracing the Lord and being close to the Lord 24 hours a day, this is actually the innermost desire, abhishta doham, of the soul. And this is the only thing that gives full satisfaction. And this is the process of bhakti. It means to be connected to Krishna through the ninefold process of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. these things are practiced in the beginning, even when one doesn't have full realization of Krishna's embrace through these processes. And in the beginning, it is as if, what is it? It seems like this idea of giving up other things to take to devotional service is all risk and no gain. To someone who doesn't have a taste, in other words, you say, can you do some service? It's like, I can't do it because I can't risk that because I have to give up my worldly thing. I got to go make money, right? I can't do it. So it seems like all risk and no gain. But when somebody's actually surrendered and is feeling the embrace of Krishna, it feels like all gain and no risk. Because what do you have to risk? You don't have anything anyway. It's going to be all taken away. You don't have it, really. Someone who's realized that I don't have anything anyway. I'm Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. My soul belongs to Krishna. That person has no more risk and only gain. Imagine a life. Is that free from stress? On the material platform, the stress is all about risk. I'm risking my life at every step in this world. It's dangerous. Just yesterday, I had this. Nirkula was busy in the morning. She was running out the door, getting ready for this and that, and she had eaten a piece of cornbread that she had made earlier, and she started, it went down the wrong tube, and she started choking on it, like coughing, you know. And I was standing there thinking, you know, I never took the time to learn CPR. I don't know. I'm sorry, but I don't know how to save you, you know. It's like I was just watching her choke, and I was thinking, in a few seconds, just padam padam yapi padam, walking in this world, anything we can do, it can happen. I was with Keshav Bharti Maharaj about 5 years ago. We had gone to Santa Cruz to do Sankirtan, and he had these vitamin supplements that he takes, and they had been sitting in the trunk of my car, and it was a very hot day, and so they had fused together. So he tried to swallow them, and it went down the wrong tube. And I didn't even notice. I was loading books, and he couldn't even talk. He was like slap. And I looked over, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "No." And I felt helpless again. And just to bring our attention to the fact that everything we think is normal and that everything's okay, it's in a normal flow. No, it's not. At any second, what we think is under our control, we can realize that the bottom can fall out. Everything can become an emergency situation, and there's nothing much I can do about it. So the material world is risky, but surrendering to Krishna, putting oneself fully into Krishna's care, there's no risk there, and only gain. And that's how the devotee feels. And this is the life of the devotee. It's just putting it all into Krishna. Suridam sarva bhutanam. He's the friend of all living entities, realizing that actually Krishna is our well-wisher. He is our greatest well-wisher. And somebody who is experiencing this happiness, this gain with no risk, actually then becomes animated to distribute to others. That's the only way to fully express one's gratitude, is to distribute to Krishna's other parts and parcels and say, here, book on yoga meditation shows you how to get free from stress. And the words that come out of the mouth of the devotee when he or she says that, or any other thing that they say to distribute the book, to the degree that the devotee's feeling this relief and surrender to Krishna and proximity of Krishna, the devotee's actually feeling Krishna's embrace because that devotee has decided, I surrender. And no matter what it takes, I'm gonna give up my independent interests and I'm going to give it to Krishna. If I have to turn this battleship around, you know, inch by inch, I'll do it. Whatever it takes, I'm turning the ship around and I'm going back towards Goloka Vrindavan. That's it. That devotee who has that feeling, that determination. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajantimam dridavrata. That devotee becomes dridavrata. That vow is, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, I don't care what happens. Then that vibration comes out from the devotee's voice. When a devotee who has that feeling within his or her heart speaks, that's what comes out. That's what creates the vibration that moves others, is that devotee's decided. And this is a way of our expressing our gratitude to Krishna for being our best friend. And the devotee lives in that constantly. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Devotees realizing and seeing how everything comes from Krishna. Everything. All energies are moving because of him. Om Tat Sat. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Monthly Sankirtan Festival ki jai, 300 book distributors ki jai. Just inside information. Our goal was to have 300 devotees go out on book distribution. We're really, really close. Really close. So close, I can't even express how close we are.
Do you know anything about these Trivandrum devotees?
The Trivandrum devotees? Oh, I don't know. I just, one thing is, this whole festival was a precursor to bigger things. Because I had this revelation this morning. I mean, it's been baking in my mind, but I had a revelation today about what this festival meant, the 300 devotees. And the word that's come into my mind is pipeline. And what it means is that this was the blueprint for a pipeline. Of creating a pipeline. It's not easy to make a pipeline, but we're going to do it. We're going to use whatever we learned during this festival of getting 300 plus devotees out on book distribution, not just here, but all over the world in many different places. People are reporting in. Those who are disenfranchised, they're not already out doing book distribution. We can connect up everybody. And making that pipeline means we can move tens of thousands of books through that pipeline within... within a weekend by connecting everybody all over the world. Kurnathru.
There's a song by Narottam Das Thakur called Nitai Gunamani. Mm. And in the song he says that Lord Nityananda cut a channel from the ocean of love of God, and with that channel he drowned everybody.
That's perfect.
And everybody was drowning, except some people couldn't drown, but even they were floating. On love of God.
Perfect.